there's been a great deal of talk about changes in the King James. I shouldn't have said it just that way. I should have said in the authorized version of the Bible. You see, 1611, it came out as the authorized version. A little later on, it got popularized as the King James Version. Now, I'm not against calling it KJV or, you know, whatever you're in love with, but when you come right down to it, we really ought not to be too greatly in love with James, the King. James in the book, James the King, not so sure. For that reason, I do prefer authorized version. And then, of late, we have been hearing a great deal about the New American Standard. Now, many people will tell you that there have been many, many changes. The people who are popularizing, for example, the New King James, as they call it, tell about all the changes that there have been that is prior to their time from the earliest days. The reason I have put just a little tiny bit about that subject into my subject tonight is because I'd like you to appreciate how ridiculous it is to say that the authorized version has been changed a great deal, because it has not. It has not been changed much. But you'll see the kind of changes. If you haven't, we want you to see a little bit. And I've asked my son to come and help me with something, especially a little later. But maybe we need some help here. How do you run one of these things? Do you put the picture down? Upside down?
Just push that big button.
I never ran one of these things before. Alright. Now that's not part of the text, but I think you can read it. However, we want to call to your attention. We don't spell calendar that way anymore. Notice? We don't express things. You see, the old-fashioned S that looks like an F up there in expressing, the Germans had the habit of using two of those inside a word, and they used the final S, as it was called, only at the end of the word. Notice down here where we have the Psalter. Where is it? Well, there are the Psalms, you see. And lessons to be said at morning. And you spell evening that way. And you'll notice, if you read much of this, you will see every time we would put a V in, they have a U, and every time we put a U in, they have a V. Now that's just a matter of the way they made their letter. They didn't have them reversed in the alphabet. But somehow or other, we've made the change. When correction is made in what we would call orthography, that is, the print, is that a serious change that should be said to be a great big alteration in the text? Hardly so. Right down here, order how the Psalter is appointed to be read. Notice that Psalter. How do you like that? Way down in here it says, and because, that's the word because, it looks like out. There's January, you see? I can't point at it without looking here, but there's January. Right there. See it? Oh, I can't get it. Okay. January? No, January. February didn't get any delays, huh? It's all right. But look at this word, shall. Right there. Recognize that? and borrow? Have you ever borrowed? And so on. Well, those are some of the things that are counted when various ones count and say, the revisers of the authorized version made many, 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 many changes. That's most of them. Isn't that ridiculous? Now to make this perhaps a little more meaningful, this is also not part of the text, but this is in the front of the Bible. This is July had 31 days. You wouldn't recognize it, would you? Now, when we write it our way, then they count all those things as changes in the text, because this is part of the text. The moon, so on. There the sun, morning prayer. How do you like that one? The sun, S-U-N-N-E, riseth, falleth, so many hours, etc., etc. Look at that. Any of you who were born in Germany and spoke the German language back in the days before they got their new orthography, you don't have a bit of trouble reading this, because the English use the same thing, but we've been without it much longer than they. And those are supposed to be changes. Well, I have another one. Oh, yes, here. I guess we didn't get what I thought we were. I thought we were going to get the first page of Genesis. I did? Here it is. Here, picture. Genesis is still with us. Okay. See how they spell heaven? I don't even know how to pronounce that one. And earth. And, come on down. Look at any of these. In the second verse, and the earth was without form and void. Interesting. They spell void with a kind of V like we could see. How come they didn't make that into a U? I don't know. I have no idea. Darkness was here. Now they did this. Profound. Face of the deity. And so on. Well, and God, I like this one. And God moved. See? Well, it's interesting to read, but, you know, when you correct that into the way we spell, is that so serious? It doesn't change the sense of it. Sense is just the same. All right. I wanted to say, regarding this, that you'll want to get the little white booklet. Dr. Wade has put together for us the KJV 1611 compared to the present KJV. As many of these things that I would mention, and when you now you've seen the pictures, you can enjoy this even that much more. Get one of these and call to your attention. He tells us on page 4 about Thomas Paris or Paris. Benjamin Blaney, I think it was what he was called. These two men who in 1762 made revision of the authorized version. Came out in 1611, this revision in 1762, and the tremendous claim that it was a great change that was made. However, Dr. Waite shows us on page 8, if you happen to have one of these, near the bottom of the page, the total number of translation changes was extremely small. There were only 421 translation changes. And very, very minor matters of ways of expressing or verb tense or approach to saying exactly the same thing. And on the top of page 9, he tells us that this amount, this 421, this is only about a 0.05325% change from the 1611. Be sure you get this. I could spend more of my time, and I shouldn't, regarding those changes. But what I want to get to you is differences, and I've picked out significant ones. I have more picked out than I'm going to have time to talk about. That's better, isn't it? I have more than I have time to talk about, but I'm going to ask for a procedure like this. Do you happen to have a King James Bible somewhere about you? And if you do, get it in hand. And you remember when you were kids how they call off a verse and the first one that sounded got up and read it. Well, all right. We'll do a little bit of that. And then this man up here, and this is by request, and by the way, I didn't ask permission. We snuck in a New American Standard. We hope that that's all right. Let him go out the front door after that. He's going to read it that way, so you can see the difference. And then want to point out to you, and I'm just making selection, upon what authority these changes were made in certain significant verses. Number one is Matthew 1:25. Who's going to read that for us? Get right up and read it, if you will.
And knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
And kept her a virgin until she gave birth to her son, and he called his name Jesus.
But firstborn is missing. Did you notice? Firstborn is missing. Now, I have a chart here that's my notebook that I have compiled, and I hope that it has no errors. If anybody should detect any error, please notify me in writing. But the authority for this is given to us in the authorized version. There's agreement in the confraternity. There's agreement in LAMSA. There's agreement in, I think, the New Berkeley. Other than that, we have a whole string of all these modern ones that leave the firstborn out, and their evidences are these. This should be in according to... Now, I just don't know what to do. I don't have time to specifically tell you each one of these, but the important ones, of course, are what we call a codex. The codex usually is A, Z, C, D, Aleph, Zayt, Daleth, so on. Some of these. Then there are lectionaries. There are uncials. There are papyri. And I have some of these listed in all of this. There is C and D and K and W and Delta and M. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 that include one form of this in the Greek. And in addition to that, 19, 20, 21, 22 that are minuscules. And then some more, a long list of authorities that say that should be in there. Then, as to who leaves it out, Aleph leaves it out, and if you know the story, of course Aleph leaves it out. And B leaves it out. Well, of course B leaves it out. And then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 other possible, and some of those are very insignificant ones, leaving it out, besides also a little item that is contributed by a man by the name of Ambrose, and he left it out. So much for Matthew 1:25. Let's go to Matthew 5:22. Matthew 5:22. Who's going to read that?
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
All right, now if you just read the first phrase, because that's where our difference occurs that we want to talk about.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment.
All right, thank you very much. Would you read that, please?
I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court.
Is there anyone here who is not guilty? You thought you slipped by having a cause, didn't you? But that's not part of the text, according to the moderns. See? Now that's important. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. You see, God is fair. God knows that sometimes your brother gives you a cause. And then you're angry with him and you're doing some good, hopefully. And he learns not to do, or you learn not to do what you've been doing. The omission, or the inclusion, of this expression, without a cause, comes to us from Aleph, believe it or not, D, K, L, W, Daleth, Theta, Phi, and then we have, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, minuscules. And about 13 other things. And then on the tail end, we have the Gothic and the Armenian and the Georgian, the Diatessaron of Irenaeus. We have Origen, Cyprian, Eusebius, Lucifer. Only it's a different one. And Pseudo-Justin, Chrysostom, Cyril. Included this. What about the omission? Well, the omission is a correction of Aleph, and B joins in this, and I'll list it. The Gospel of the Nazarenes, according to Ptolemy, Justin, and Irenaeus, and then we have a Latin papyri, we have Tertullian, Origen, Eusebius, Basil, and some manuscripts mentioning Jerome, Augustine, and one addressed to Augustine Cassian, and pseudo-Athanasius. Well, I like Athanasius without being pseudo. But they are against it, and they would say, leave it out. Next one is Matthew 5:44. Who's reading? Yeah.
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Thank you very much.
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
What was that? It doesn't say a word about bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. That's all left out. Their authority, well, the authority for putting it in, is quite long. Among the, maybe I should read only the codex record. We have one of the D's with a correction that includes it. We have K, L, W, Delta, Theta, Pi, and then we have quite a list of other of these minor things, including some minuscules and some lectionaries. Don't have any papyri in this list. But the omitters, the ones who want to have it omitted, are Aleph and D and what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 others. All of them rather insignificant mentions. So, to bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you, these people persuade should be omitted from your text, from your Bible. And they are in the, I should say this often, all of these omissions are omitted from the New American Standard New Testament. Matthew 6:13. Who's reading? That's all right. Go right ahead. If they don't want to help you, why, we'll get you up on the platform to do it.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. Let's see what this one says in New American Standard.
And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. And so, we want you to notice who it is that says they should be in. And this is claimed by K, L, W, Delta, Theta, Pi, and then we have some uncials. Oh, we have some minuscules. We have don't have any papyri on this list, but let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, that's lectionary, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, we have 30 more of various levels and varieties that say, keep it in. It belongs in there, on the plus. How about the minus? Aleph, B, D. And then let's see. Well, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have Tertullian, Origen, Cyprian, Hilary, Caesarea, Nazianzus, and Gregory Nyssa. And these are good old authoritative Roman Catholics, you know. Chromatius, Augustine, and Peter of Laodicea, and Maximus the Confessor. They wanted out, all of those people. But you see, each time, in each one of these illustrations, I'm giving you at least twice as many that wanted in as those that wanted out. And sometimes the proportion is not that favorable for the leave-it-outers. Now, let's see. The next one I want to call your attention is Matthew 17:21. Yes, sir. You read. All right. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The New American Standard says,
but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. It's noted that it's parenthetical, and the note is, most ancient manuscripts omit this verse.
All right, thank you. I want you to notice that they put a bracket around it, and they say, most ancient manuscripts omit this. Here is the list of the most who don't admit it, omit it. C, D, K, L, W, X, Delta, Phi, then we have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, uncials. We have, Byzantine lectionaries. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and more. And then we have some of the writers, Diocletian, even Origen, and some others who want it included, But remember, it said most ancient manuscripts, and they are, and this, these are the ones that want it out, Aleph, B, Theta. That's most. Well, there are a few other little minuscules, but what do I have? I think it has six minuscules and also Eusebius, but if that can't possibly be the Eusebius we usually refer to, it's a different one. Matthew 18:11.
For the Son of Man has come to say that which was lost.
The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. All right, New American Standard, please.
Again, we have this passage bracketed, and it says that most ancient manuscripts omit, in the bracket, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
All right, thank you very much. Now, the evidences for having it in include D, K, W, X, Delta, Pi, and then... the unshows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Byzantine lectionary, another lectionary, two more, six more in that group. The Diatessaron, Hilary, Chrysostom, and Augustine. But the ones that want it out, Aleph, B, L, Theta. That's most ancient manuscripts. They want it out. Next verse would be Matthew 27:24. Who's reading? Yes, sir. You were up before, you try again.
I would thought that he could prevail nothing, but that rather it seemed off his name, took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Scene 2.
All right, the question here regards the blood of this just person.
And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourself.
All right. Thank you. You notice that regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, he's right on the edge of the place of shedding his blood. And he's not called a just or a righteous person. This man's blood, what Pilate says. The authority for the word just, or this proclamation and recognition of the quality and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, even Aleph agrees, and K, and L, and W, and Pi, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 uncials. We have some lectionaries. We have the Apostolic Constitution, Cyril, Jerusalem, and Theodore Cyril. But those that want it left out are B. You notice that Aleph and B are said to be the most ancient and the most reliable, that is, our critics say that, and yet they don't even agree among themselves. One of them wants this in, the other one wants it out. Z wants it out, D wants it out, Theta wants it out, and those are the codices, or codex copies. We have a few other, but not very much, maybe six different small pieces that would vote for having it out, or vote that it's not supposed to be there. Let's go to Mark 1:1. This one should stir up your ire. Who's going to read? Yes, sir.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Thank you.
No
note is made here that the Son of God is left out of most manuscripts. It reads the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Thank you. Now, the manuscripts that include it are A, B, D, L, W, K, Delta, Pi, and then, oh my, I'm not going to bother to count, but must be a dozen or 15 other things. And incidentally, Aleph's first corrector left it out, too. They did do some correcting in Aleph and some of these others. Those that want it out are Aleph and Theta. And that's all. Of course, there are some incidentals that are mentioned here, but not codex copies. That sort of cheats, doesn't it? Seems like. Somebody keeping time on me because I don't want to run over time. All right. My notebook here hits high spots through the entire New Testament. I'm going to one verse more in Luke, and then I'm going to let someone else have the platform. I think that we have probably illustrated, although I have some very juicy ones still coming, but maybe I'll get a chance again sometime, and you come back again. But Luke 11, verse 2, and verse 4. Luke 11, verse 2, and verse 4. Who's reading? Who's the reader? Last chance. Who's the reader? Okay?
Set up for them when you pray. Say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is dead to us, and it is not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Is that a King James? That's right. Yeah. It's all right. You just got in Matthew. We're in Luke. Okay. Let's go.
And he said to him, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us and lead us not into temptation.
All right.
The note here is that some manuscripts insert phrases from Matthew 6, 9 through 13 to make the two passages.
All right, that's the hitch, you see. We automatically hear from the Gospel of Matthew when we read Luke, but you know, they claim that not only was that heard, but then that was written into the text and doesn't belong there. Let's give you the evidence, however, the documents. The following say that it should be included. A, C, D, K, P, W, X, Delta, Theta, Pi, C, and then we have a list of minuscules. We have a list of other references. Picks up about that much on my type page to give the various ones that say that those words belong in there. But those who want it out, T75, Aleph, Z, and 1, 2, 3, 4 on verse 2, and then for verse 4, T75, Z, L, and 1, 2, 3, 4. What is the evidence? What would be the verdict of this if you were the jury in the court? You must vote in favor of that which is a majority account. And the majority says, these things that the New American Standard leaves out belong in. I submit it to you.
Amen.